during our talk earlier, I went back and looked at that report, and we are, in fact, ranked 51st out of not just the 50 states in the country, but also Washington, yeah. D.C., which that might change here, depending on how things go. But, I just wanted to talk to someone about that, sort of understand why exactly that is. And, that led me to you. So what are your thoughts, I guess, general thoughts on when you hear that?
Yeah, without getting too much in the weeds, well, it's kind of hard not to, but I'll try to stay as far out of the weeds as I can. There's both legitimate and then less than justifiable reasons for why we rank so low in the scoring of broadband availability among other states. And so for the legitimate reasons, or at least the rational, justifiable, understandable reasons, it breaks down to demographics and geography. So we are the third least densely populated state in the country, and we're the fourth largest state in the country. So that means there's a whole lot of state there and not a whole lot of people. And the survey itself admitted that the states in the lower part of the rankings are rural, and the states at the top of the rankings are urban, including D.C., and Connecticut, and Rhode Island. I mean, we could put any of those states, all of them, inside Montana, plenty of room to spare. So if you have a densely populated area, then it's kind of a lower cost area, and it's easier to string fiber to everybody, and presto, you're at the top of the rankings. If you have a state like Montana, it takes a long time and a lot of money to serve not a lot of people. So that's the economics of why we are at the bottom of the ladder. However, there are a couple of states that rank higher than us, considerably higher, and kind of in the middle of the rankings, that are rural states, and there's a couple reasons there. One, they have almost all of their population concentrated in population centers, so there really isn't anything else out there, so they can serve their population centers and end up serving most of the state. And then in the case of North Dakota, they got an early start on stringing fiber to the home in rural North Dakota, plus they have most of their population living in the eastern part of the state, so that combination makes them higher in the rankings. So those are the legitimate economic reasons for where we are. Now for the other explanations, we have in rural Montana, you're probably better off if you're served by Northern Telephone Co-op out of Sunburst or Nemont out of Scobie or Three Rivers out of Fairfield or any of these small, rural, locally grown, independent broadband providers who have been providing great service as much as they can afford in rural Montana, than you would be if you live in downtown Helena or Billings. And so why is that? Well, for the logical economic explanation, there's no return on investment in Montana for a large shareholder-owned corporation. Even in the entire state, I mean, our entire state equals like a suburb of some of the cities that these large corporations serve. For better or worse, we won't go into economic theory or philosophy, but for better or worse, these corporations need to return shareholder value to their shareholders, and there ain't none in Montana. So, and it shows. So these large corporations invest more in more densely populated, low-cost areas where shareholder value can be more easily affected through a better rate of return. So, quite frankly, that shows. And the lack of or the underinvestment in high-speed, future-proof broadband technologies in Montana in our more densely populated areas is less than it is in other states, which means much of our population is unserved or underserved, particularly and ironically in areas with where there's a denser population. And that's going to pull down, what is that, the numerator, right? And so if you divide a low numerator, a low-served, underserved numerator by the population, you're going to get a low result, which puts us in the basement of the rankings. So how's that for not getting too far into the weeds?
That's pretty good. Not too bad. I appreciate that. So, yeah,
right.
Yeah, I guess with all that said, and yeah, that did actually answer a lot of questions I was curious about with states with lower populations and even lower area like the Dakotas and Wyoming that are also rural. So, yeah, thanks for mm-hmm. clearing that up for me. With all that said, I think this article mentions it. Also, the last time they did this sort of study or survey, however they went about doing it, they also noted a pretty significant increase in internet yeah. speed from year to year.
True.
Do you see yeah. that continuing forward? And if so, is this going to continue to be an issue? Do you even see it as an issue at this point?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. And yes, there is continued investment in our broadband infrastructure, particularly by the smaller rural companies. We have seen companies like VisionNet. There have been some wireless internet service providers whose service is less than optimal, but they have found markets in areas where the large shareholder-owned corporations haven't been investing. So they can provide better-than-nothing service in the areas that have nothing. And so because of additional investment from these sort of modest, smaller internet service providers who provide, they're not modest providers, but they're providers who provide modest services, but it's better than nothing, that has been able to move the needle. And it's not moving the needle to where we need to be. Ideally, what we want in a perfect world is symmetrical 100 megabit service down and 100 megabit service up, because download and upload is just as important anymore. It used to be download was faster than upload and still is in a commercial sense, but in terms of future demand, we need symmetrical download and upload speeds, and 100 by 100 symmetrical is a minimum. So we should be shooting for much more so that we can get gigabit speeds to everybody. That would be the dream. That's the gold standard objective. You know, I guess we have to get there step by step, but we have started that with the passage of Senate Bill 297 just yesterday, which establishes a broadband program funded by the American Rescue Plan money that came to Montana earlier this year. So, and then today we will probably see the passage of House Bill 632, which provides $275 million to the broadband program that's established in Senate Bill 297. And the $275 million will be matched by a 20% match from providers, as well as money from local governments. So that 275 can increase to maybe 350, maybe as much as $400 million, which is a hell of a good down payment on getting us from 51st to moving us up the pack. It's not going to get us to the goal line of fiber to the home or some sort of gigabit service to everybody, no matter what the technology is. But it's a big step. So I think I lost the question, but I think I got it somewhere in there.
No, I think you got it. With that said, you mentioned the bills and the bills being passed and the money that's starting to come in with us. Where do you see it going from here then? Do you think that this might be like a personal take or just how you see it going with these sort of numbers getting tossed around? But do you think that this will provide the sort of kickstart that it's intended for? Do you think more industry and investment in general are going to need to come into the state of Montana for outside sort of shareholders or outside businesses to show interest and invest in the state? do you think? Where do we need to go from here, I guess, is the simple way of asking it.
To both questions. So will this move the needle? Yes. The program that's established under Senate Bill 297 sets up a program for reviewing applications and for allowing the states to issue requests for proposals, RFPs, for serving frontier areas, unserved areas, and underserved areas in that order. And then the House Bill 632 establishes a commission comprising three senators, three representatives, and three people appointed by the governor. So that's a commission of nine people to review the applications and proposals for broadband projects, and then the Department of Commerce is administering the program, and they have a number of criteria by which they will score applications for projects to develop and deploy broadband. So you have this scoring mechanism, and the scoring mechanism is in Senate Bill 297, and it says things like you need to consider the extent to which an area is rural or unserved or underserved. You need to consider the size of the matching funds, the qualifications of the company or the provider that's applying, and so on through, there's 10 or 15 criteria that need to be considered. And then it's going to go past this commission that is established with the six legislators and three appointees from the governor. And they, they will have sort of the public policy, the public's interest in mind. So they want to make sure that we get the biggest bang for the buck out of this $275 to $300 to $400 million bucks. So they're going to be watching to make sure that we do move the needle and we climb up the ladder from 51st to higher in the pack. They want to make sure that areas that claim to be served and actually aren't get served. And we each, every one of our metropolitan areas in Montana has this example, and we have listeners that know that they live in a so-called city in Montana and can't get internet, despite what the provider says. So, you know, we have to fix that. And this bill will help get us there. It's not the end, but it's a good first step.
Yeah, yeah. So do you see, with all that taking place down the road, do you see that addressing some of the other things you mentioned earlier with maybe people being more interested in investing in broadband and everything like that?
Good point. Yes. I knew there was another part of that question that I forgot. Well, so we already have some small companies that are investing on their own. This program should help those companies apply for funding to help them either start or continue or expand their investment. It's not exclusive to anyone who's interested in serving. So even companies who are already invested in areas can apply for additional funding to expand and enhance the services they are providing. And in fact, they're welcome to. So, and the program will pay these companies essentially 80 cents on the dollar. You know, you have to put a 20% match and you get bonus points for increasing that match. The large companies can do that. Smaller companies, 20% on a million or 2 million or $10 million project is a lot of money for a little company, not for the big companies. And so they'll get 80 cents on the dollar to build out their networks. So why wouldn't anybody apply who could for the purpose of expanding and enhancing broadband to consumers in Montana? You know, it's a deal you can't refuse. So the bill is agnostic. It doesn't care who applies. Just give me your application and show me what you're going to do and tell me why you're better than anyone else.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think I've got just one or two more questions here before I let you go. But with these recent measures that are that have been presented and are going through legislature and everything, it really stems from the growing need for reliable broadband internet across the state and everything. So what would you tell
about that?
Yeah, that's
the entry level premise. We just assume that everybody knows that we need broadband, that it's, you know, it's like the electricity of the 21st century. And we just have, you know, we just understand that. So I interrupted you, but yeah, we forgot to go over that part.
Well, yeah, no, you're fine. You're fine. Cause yeah, it's basically it. Some people say it is infrastructure. Some people say it isn't infrastructure. I won't ask you that, but, to cap this all off and get it as back to big picture, what do you think this means for both the businesses that were really, really hampered over the past year with the pandemic and everything, who realize they need better internet speed and connection, and maybe even potential businesses to come into Montana who might have originally been, you know, trepidatious because of these sort of issues?
Yeah, boy. There's several questions in there. So one, I don't share your sensitivity to the question about is broadband infrastructure. Yes, it is. I think the sensitivity comes to, is it public infrastructure? Should it be a public utility, or is it best left to the private sector to innovate and bring newer, better services sooner and without bureaucratic overlays? So you kind of know where I'm heading on that. So yes, broadband is an infrastructure, but it's not necessarily a public utility, as some corners might argue. Now, what will it enhance economic activity and development in Montana? Absolutely, yes. I mean, that's what we kind of skipped over in the beginning, because I think we make these assumptions, but they're well-based assumptions. So, you know, you got telemedicine. So, you know, people, I guess let's step back to COVID, and that's probably the reason why we have this money in the first place from the ARPA, whatever that American Rescue Plan Act, and earlier the CARES Act and the Reconciliation Act. I mean, they were all sort of reactions to COVID. And one of the lessons we learned from that pandemic is that we talked about online learning and telemedicine, getting medical appointments remotely. You don't have to drive into your clinic. You don't have to spend time and money to get to a rural health care provider. You can have a session online. I mean, these were all sort of conceptual ideas and discussions. And then the pandemic came along and it became reality. All of a sudden, we shut down the economy. People suddenly were working from home, and they discovered that, some of them discovered that they didn't have adequate bandwidth, broadband connections to conduct a Zoom meeting. They couldn't go two ways. And that's when I mentioned earlier that our goal should be symmetrical 100 megabit service up and down. We've learned from the pandemic how important upload speeds are, because a Zoom session is a two-way upload and download transaction. And we're uploading everything to the cloud. We're backing up our computers, and everything is cloud-based now. Even we have appliances that go to the cloud to find out if they need more food in the refrigerator and stuff like that. All of that requires higher upload speeds. So we've discovered the breadth and width of broadband and how it affects our lives, from our work world to our medical treatment, to our education, to treating, you know, having government services. It has become increasingly important, and COVID brought it all to the surface, and that's, I think, why we're seeing these responses. Will it bring people to Montana? It already is. So I think there's examples of people who have moved. There's lots of examples of people who've moved out of California. I mean, they've lost a congressional district. And that's because people are coming back home or getting out of states where, you know, they can. And the best way they can do that is to move someplace if they have the luxury of having a job that they can do anywhere. doing it anywhere requires a broadband connection. So we can compete with other states to bring our people back home, our graduates, our citizens, our homies back to Montana, and we can compete if we have a good broadband network that allows them to come home.
All right, Jeff, that's a great answer and a great way to wrap this up, I think. You gave me a lot of great insightful information there, and I really do appreciate it and taking the time to speak with me today. Thanks again, Jeff. I really appreciate it.
Thanks.